The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Here's one of the letters for our OnePlus competition. And it's addressed, it's an open letter to a little dog who saved my life many years ago from Dulles. Dear Pepe. It's a good name for a dog. Dear Pepe, you never really knew, or did you, the big difference you made to my life. I first saw your little head peeping out from my husband's pocket when he brought you home all those years ago. You were brown and beautiful with big, soulful eyes. You were a little shy at first, but you soon got to know us and you knew we had lots of love to give. My first baby, a beautiful little girl, had died on her way into the world, and I was in a very sad place when you arrived. But you cheered me up every time I looked at you, and it was great to have you to care for. You helped my grief in such a positive way. And later, when our son was born, everybody said we should give you away because you were so spoiled. They said you'd be jealous of the baby. But I knew better than that. And when you took on the role of protector-in-chief of our beautiful boy, we loved you even more. Two hard-earned children, and many dogs later, I still remember you with love, and I hope you knew the joy you brought. And that is You know, the dog in the family has more of an impact than I think we'll ever know. I think that's the truth. This is a slightly sadder one, but I'm going to bring it to you before I play some music, a beautiful piece of music from Yola. Yola has done a gorgeous cover of a song. I'll play it now in a second, but I just want to read this letter because this is from Sally. We think it's to a partner of Sally's, and she writes and addresses her letter to my darling weirdo. My darling weirdo, what I would give to sit in silence again, hold your hand, hear you just breathing. What I would give for a 3 a.m. conversation that makes my sides hurt with laughter, to hear your quiet voice with your dark sense of humour, to have my heart properly jump out of my chest when you so much as smiled at me, to hear your ringtone or you singing words that I knew were just for me. Most of all, I wish I hadn't just accepted the I'm fines, the fake smiles, the nights you said you had slept, the empty bottles, the shaking hands, the days when you were silent, when you said, go to sleep, pet, I'll see you tomorrow. I wish to God I'd said no and insisted I come over. I wish I'd listened to everything you weren't saying, and that I could have shown you that life is amazing when the dark clouds lift. I wish I'd been enough to lift it. I wish you were here. I just miss you. And my heart hurts, and it's Christmas, and all I have is a book you'll never finish, a watch you'll never wear, and a pillow your head will never lay on again. By the way, if you haven't already, and you want to write a letter, there's still time. I won't be here tomorrow or Friday, but I'll be here next week and into the following week on Monday from the airport. But we'll be reading out more letters next Monday and Tuesday. So get busy writing. Have a think about who you'd write a letter to, someone who's no longer with us, or someone you wish you'd stayed in touch with. It's the letter you wish you had written before. Maybe just want to tell someone something you can't say to their face. We've had a lot of that. It doesn't have to be sad. We notice that they're probably 90% sad, with nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying that's the ratio at the moment. But we'll take a laugh as well. Big cash prizes to give away. We'll get to that later on. But for now, you can send them in to us here in RTE by handwritten post, Ryan Tubridy Show, RTE, Donnybrook, Dublin 4, or email ryan@rte.ie. Let's take this one from... Let's see what the name of this person. Oh, yes, I don't know if she wants her name read out, but it's from a lady. And she wants to write to read a letter to Paul. Will I tell them who Paul is, or will I wait till the end of the letter? I'm not sure what to do. Should we wait till the end? Yeah, okay. This is a well-known person in Ireland called Paul. Now, you might know who it is already, but she thinks it's the same Paul that we all know and love, but she's not sure. Are you with me? Okay, let's go and see what happens. Dear Paul, over the years, I've imagined writing this letter, but since I don't know for certain that you are who I think you might be, it always seemed futile. You see, back in 1979, when I was 19, I was in Kerry looking after children during the summer. Saturday night rolled around, but I had the night off and, having had enough of babies, I was mad keen to go to the local disco. The only catch was that the mother of the children told me that I'd have to find my own way home as she was having visitors. It was 3 miles into town and I went anyway. Now, at 19, I was crushingly shy. I was self-conscious and, shall we say, chubby. But lo and behold, didn't the best looking guy in the disco ask me to dance? You are tall, smiley and soft-spoken. And when the national anthem had been played at the end of the disco, you told your friends that you were going to run me home. Yes, that old chestnut. You had no car, but you insisted on walking me the 3 miles home. We never stopped talking as we walked. You were from Dublin. I was from Cork, so the names Drimna and Good Counsel meant nothing to me, but I never forgot them. And I remember you said that you were down in South Kerry on a visit with your football team. Well, a chaste goodnight kiss at the gate and you headed back to town and to your friends. Now, the reason why I always wanted to write this letter was to let you know that for a long time, the memory of that night sustained my faith in men. I reckon I met my fair share of frogs along the way, and being a big girl, quote unquote, I still remember how humiliated I was sometimes, made to feel. But because I had met you, a thorough gentleman and a gentle man, I knew that not all men were like that. I did eventually meet my prince, like you. He is kind and chivalrous. Actually, I met him in the summer of 1990 when the whole country had gone soccer mad, and not knowing anything about the game really, it was a huge surprise for me to see what I thought was a familiar face smiling out from the posters of the Irish team that were everywhere. I mean, how many Pauls could there be who had your distinctive looks? And then there was the mystery of why you were playing Gaelic football. It's possible that Dublin might have made the 5 in a row a lot sooner had you stuck with it. And over the years, I was thrilled and proud to hear of your success and so sad to hear about your troubles. And every time I hear you interviewed, I always think back to that lovely boy I met who was kind and gentlemanly. And I think you have never changed. So happy 60th birthday, Paul McGrath, if you are who I think you are. And if not, well, happy birthday anyway, from a soon-to-be 60-year-old fan. Just gorgeous.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551. Ooh, ah, Paul McGrath says a text. Thank you for sharing that brilliant, uplifting story in a letter. I was hoping it was about himself. And how kind for the woman to share that kindness. P.S. I'm still giving out free cups of tea and coffee to the Waterford community. Connection and compassion from you, me and a cup of tea this Friday. They'll be gathering, the gathering will be in our wonderful backbone, perhaps spine, the book centre from 5 to 7. Great shop, by the way, one of my favourite bookshops, I always say it, from 5 to 7. From Marion, excuse me, a black American blow-in from the day shift for over 14 years. And if you would like to speak of how heartbreaking the movie Love Actually is, I am your woman. I love the soundtrack. I loved you up to that point, Marion, but we won't fall out over it. That Paul McGrath letter was just pure magic, says Pauline. And another says, I just adored that letter, the Paul McGrath. Heartwarming stuff. Yola played the Olympia 2 weeks ago, says another text. It's hands down my standout gig of the year. It was incredible. And another from Phil says, wow to the Yola. The perfect voice for the next James Bond movie soundtrack. Good call. We should definitely do that. Okay, let's take another gorgeous letter from one of our listeners who has this to say to address to my darling Quiva. It says, it's a Wednesday afternoon in late November and I'm sitting alone in a coffee shop. The shopping centre is filled with jingling music and twinkling lights and busy shoppers rushing about. A happy time of the year. A tall, slim girl with dancing eyes and long dark hair flowing behind her walks towards me. And just for a second, my heart stops. I've been trying to write this letter for a long time. 8 years, Quiva. So many memories and stories I wanted to tell you and share with you, but I couldn't. I think I might be ready now. I don't know if I ever told you how over the moon we were when you were born. We had waited almost 5 years for you. The midwife laughed heartily when you arrived in the delivery room with your small body and full head of thick, dark hair. This one needs a haircut, she laughed. The other new mums in the nursery smiled at your dark mop. You must have had terrible heartburn, they said. If I did, you were worth it. You made our family complete. You were a funny baby. You used to toddle off to bed with 3 dodies, one in your mouth and one in each hand. By morning, all 3 would have ended up on the floor, but one morning, miraculously, none had fallen out during the night, and you greeted us in the morning with all three stuffed into your mouth. You were so happy with yourself. We laughed until the tears ran down our cheeks. Your favourite time of year was Christmas. One year, when you were about seven, Dad found you in your bedroom, secretly wrapping my Christmas present. You were delighted with yourself. You had managed to cut the wrapping paper all by yourself. It was only when you lifted the parcel that you both realised you had also managed to cut through your brand new duvet cover as well. Luckily, your great champion and co-conspirator, Dad, managed to hide the damage until long after Christmas. I never told you, but I did find out. Dad made me promise not to say anything. I'm glad I didn't now. And so many things I didn't get to tell you. So many stories and funny moments. I thought there would be time, plenty of time, for stories. And maybe on your 18th birthday or on the night of your Debs, or maybe when you were packing your bags to head off to college. But there wasn't time. One morning, just 8 years ago, my darling Caoimhe, you quietly closed your eyes and left us all. You were just 13. There was no warning, there were no goodbyes, no time for any more stories. You were gone and we were left shell-shocked. I didn't even think to keep a lock of your beautiful, long, dark hair. And this isn't a letter of sadness, Caoimhe. This is a letter of happiness, because of all the happiness and the light and the love and the laughter you brought into our lives, this is a letter to tell you how your arrival completed our little family and answered the prayers of your mum and dad and your big sister Orla. This is a letter to tell you that we were so blessed to have you in our lives. And even though we would have loved to have had you for much, much longer, we count ourselves so lucky to have had you in our lives for 13 wonderful, happy years. I love you to the moon and back. Mam. Bernie, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
How did you write that?
Oh, I took me 8 years to write it, so, and it was good for me to do it.
Did you know I was laughing at your description of that beautiful child, because she was the sort of child I think would have grown up to be a friend of mine, in the sense that she had obviously a sense of humour. She had divilment in her.
She had.
And you wrote that beautifully, you captured it beautifully in your letter.
Thank you very much.
No, you really
I'm a
did.
Bit shocked here now.
That's okay.
Yes.
And when did she die?
She died 8 years ago in November. Yeah. And it has taken this long for me to be able to probably talk about it and concentrate on the happy memories. You know, there's so much sadness and grief. But it is a process of grieving, and at this stage now, I can think of all the happy times and all the nice memories and the joy she brought to us, and just thank God that we had her for those 13 years and the happiness she brought to all of us in the family. It's the way you get by.
The way you get by. Is Orla is your other daughter?
Orla's my other daughter, yes.
And your husband?
I'm my husband, Barry, yes.
And yourself. And is it possible to celebrate Christmas?
It is. You do laugh again, Ryan. You think you won't, but you do. We've very good family and friends and neighbours and work colleagues around us. We've got a lot of support. And you do. You do laugh again. There's moments that are sad. That moment in the shopping centre when I saw a girl who looked like her, it does catch your throat. And moments like she would have been 21 there in October. Those days are tough.
They're tough.
And when her class did their leaving cert and had the night of their debs, those days are tough. But we're managing well with good support.
You captured the soul of a very kind, happy child in that letter.
She was a beautiful child. I know I'm biased.
No, it's okay. You're entitled to be. Can I just say thank you for sharing that story with us, Bernie, and wish you a happy Christmas.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Mind yourself.
Same to you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.